of a city called glory. It was so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there.
Thank you.
a crown of thorns upon your head, where one of gold should go instead, pressing down until you bled, all for me. Mocked and scorned, they led you out. Grief and pain was all you found, all for me, all for me. If I had been the only one, you would have done it still. Blood flow down your wounded side. The people laughed, your father cried. The Son of God lay down to die. All for me, all for me. Your body weak and ragged with pain, the sinless one, the King of Kings, hung on a cross between two thieves, all for me, all for me. If I had been the only one, you would have still for love. What grace untold, what love indeed. Oh, for me, oh, for me. You took the chain so I'd go free. All for me, spotless lamb became unclean. All for me, all for me.
It's a blessing again to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you here in the service tonight. A lot of churches have turned out and come to be with us in revival. We appreciate you coming, and I want to say thank you to where I'm trying to serve as pastor over at Sardis. They moved their service over here. We appreciate them for coming and being in the service tonight. It's a blessing to be here and hear these songs sung and to feel the presence of the Lord in the midst of His people. And what a blessing that is. To know that the Lord is still doing His perfect work in our world today. We have a lot of disappointments here, but I've never been disappointed in Him. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. When you find your place, if you would, stand with us. We'll honor the Bible. This is a parable here of the king's son's marriage that I want to read tonight, and maybe say a few things here concerning this text while you pray for us. The Bible said, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this evening, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. We thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be able to come into your house one more time and proclaim your word. We ask you, O God, that you'll touch every heart, every life that's here. Lord, may we be drawn even closer to you. We ask you again to anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach one more time and let preaching be easy for us, just like it was the very first time we ever tried to preach. We ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd help us not to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word. Go with us now, Lord, in what you do for us. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach tonight on having what it takes. I want to preach on that thought for just a few minutes tonight. I'm thankful of this one thing, that I don't know your heart. Amen. I would, if it was up to me to do the dividing, I would have people that's supposed to be in heaven in hell. I'd have people that's supposed to be in hell in heaven. Because it's not, and nor do we have the power to discern that. That's strictly between you and God, every individual. I don't know who's saved here tonight. I don't know who's lost here tonight. All I truly know about is myself. And I know as a 16-year-old boy, in an old-fashioned revival meeting, I got saved that night. And it's still good to me tonight as it was those many years ago when I first gave my heart and life to Jesus. I wouldn't trade what I have for what you have for nothing in this world. I question you, but I know about me. Amen. I know that I've got the goods and what it takes to get me there tonight. Amen. And I'm satisfied with it. I'm not looking for a denomination. I'm not looking for anything else to satisfy me. I've got everything that I'll ever need to get me from here to yonder. Amen. The same God that is able to save my soul, I have faith to believe that He's able to keep me until that day. Amen. I'm not looking for anything else. This world is always advocating something new. And everywhere you turn, they're saying that they've got something new. Jesus said, in these days, they'll say, lo, come over here. He is here. And they'll say, come over here. He is here. I'm not chasing rainbows. Amen. I'm not looking for anything better. I've got everything that I need, amen, to get me from here to yonder. Do you have what it takes to get you there tonight? This parable is a parable that speaks of just that, of having what it takes to get in. Amen. The Bible calls this a wedding garment. He calls it a wedding garment. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true sayings of God. Amen. So we're looking at something here that it takes something for us to get there, to get in. I'm reminded of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 wise had oil in their vessels. The 5 foolish didn't have any oil in their vessels. And so when the bridegroom, when it was announced that the bridegroom cometh, the 5 wise that had oil in their vessels were able to enter in. But the 5 foolish virgins didn't have what it take to get in. And they said, give us of your oil. And they said, no, lest we have just enough for ourselves. I can't save you, nor can you save me. I can't give you what I've got. Amen. I don't have that kind of power, nor does any other preacher have the ability to save anybody. That's strictly a supernatural act of God for a man to be born again of the Spirit of God. Do you have what it takes tonight to get you there? The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have an earnest part on the inside of us of the expectation of the coming of the fullness of Christ. Amen. When he comes one day after a while, thank God we'll need nothing else but him tonight. Do you have what it takes? A very simple message tonight that I want to bring to you under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And I want to talk about some things here that it'll take for you to be saved. First of all, you notice that it'll take an invitation from God. Amen. You cannot get saved when you want to or how you want to. There has to be a particular time and a place of an invitation that's given to every individual from God, amen, in order for you to come to be saved. Amen. The Bible said the king made a marriage for his son, and he sent them out to invite them to come. You can't say when you're going to come, when you're going to be saved, or any of that. Some people say, well, I just won't get saved tonight. I'll wait till Sunday. I'll tell you when you get saved. You'll get saved when God gives you an invitation to come unto him. Amen. I like that. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We don't have the ability within ourselves to be able to come to God because we're dead in sin. It'll take an act of the Holy Spirit of God to quicken you and to quicken me and invite us to come to God. Amen. The very purpose of the very ministry of the Holy Ghost of God, amen, is not to make God's people jump up and down and shout and do these things that are charismatic and the things that are unusual. Though we get unusual when we do get filled with the Spirit of God. But that's not his purpose. That's not his ministry. His ministry is to go out with invitation and invite people to come to Jesus. He doesn't invite people to come to himself. He comes and invites people to come to Jesus. It'll not only take an invitation from God, but it'll take a conviction of the Holy Spirit for people to come to God. The Bible said, no man cometh unto me except let he that has sent me draw him. So there has to be a drawing of God. And the way that God draws men, women, boys, and girls unto himself is through conviction and convincing. He convicts us of our sin. He reveals to us that we're sinners. Amen. And convinces us that we're in need of a Savior. Amen. So the Bible said he sent the servants out to bid them to come, to invite them to come. And he said when they came, that he sent other servants out. Amen. I tell you, it'll take God's invitation for you to be saved. And it'll take the Holy Spirit a conviction. Amen. For you to be saved. But it'll take the Word of God. Amen. Preached in its purity by God, called a man of God to preach the Word of God. It'll take the Word of God for you to be saved. I love good singing, but singing will never take the place of preaching. Amen. It's not the medium by what God uses to convict people. Amen. It waters the preaching, but it's not what God uses. Amen. And not what the Spirit of God uses, because he will never cross his word. There is songs that are not biblical that are sung. There are songs that somehow or another they just tug on our heartstrings with our emotions. We don't get saved by emotion. Amen. We are saved by the Word of God. A priest, the Bible said it pleased him to preach. Amen. The Bible reminds us by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that are lost. It'll take the servant of God, called with a divine call, filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. Amen. I remember them little old kids come out of the woods with Elijah and called him Baldy. You remember that text? And the Bible said that a she-bear, that God had sent a she-bear, and the she-bear had come and consumed them children for making fun of the man of God. I tell you, you need to be careful. Amen. You'll beg one day to hear the message of a man of God one more time. There are people in hell tonight that would love to be sitting where you're sitting at tonight, listening to the man of God preach the Word of God and telling them what it takes to be saved. Amen. It'll take the Word of God to save folks. Amen. The Bible said, you remember, it was Ezekiel that God asked the question, can these bones live? Amen. And in the process, the Bible said that that the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy. Amen. To prophesy. And I looked that up one day, and that's amazing. It says spasmodic motions. It said loud speaking. Amen. I didn't understand why we do what it is we do until I got to looking at the prophesying. When the Holy Ghost of God begins to empower the preacher. Amen. I'm not saying that. Listen, that every preacher has to preach like I do. But the manifestation of the Holy Ghost needs to be present and must be present in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. In its power and in its simplicity and its demonstration, as the Apostle Paul said, in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so he sent other servants out. Amen. In the preaching of the Word of God. The preacher's not foolish. Sometimes God takes the foolishness out of preaching. Amen. And begins to deal with a person's heart and in their life. You're here tonight, and if you're here lost and undone without God, how many times have you made fun of that man of God trying to reach your soul through the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost begins to move in you, and you hear that invitation from God to come unto Him, and you walked out the door. But God's grace allowed you to come and be here again tonight. Amen. This is not a fun time. It's a serious time. I like to laugh like everybody. Amen. I'm a positive-minded fella. I like to have fun, good, clean fun. I really do. But there's a time where we've got to sit down with God. He said, come now. He said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There come a time when you've got to get serious with this matter about being saved. Amen. Because you're going to stand before the King one day. Amen. And hear those sad words. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. The Bible said they went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Yeah. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king come in, to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. I read to you in Revelation that for they were clothed with a fine linen, and it's the righteousness of the saints. There's a robe of righteousness that's imputed to every man, woman, boy, and girl when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, repenting of their sin and believing, amen. There's an imputation of righteousness that is given unto a man, not because he's good, but just because he had faith in Jesus Christ. Said, what did Abraham find? Amen. That justified him. He wasn't justified by works, nor was righteousness imputed to him by works. Amen. But righteousness was imputed because he had faith in God. It'll take righteousness, holiness, and assurance. I want to tell you tonight, God, His righteousness, our righteousness, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We come to Jesus with nothing to bring. Amen. No righteousness. He said, without holiness, no man shall see God. He's a holy God. Amen. And He demands righteousness. When I stand in the presence of God, He doesn't look at me, but He sees the righteousness of His darling Son that was imputed unto my life. Amen. That righteousness was by faith, but that faith was in Christ Jesus and His finished work that He finished on Calvary's cross. And I believed it. Let me stop right there for just a second. When the Bible said, believing in His finished work, that covers a grand span. It really does. When you think about the work that Christ did at Calvary. Amen. When He went willfully before the foundation of the world was ever laid, He agreed with the Heavenly Father and the Spirit of God that He would come. Amen. And He would go to the cross and He would be a propitiation for man's sins. Amen. And that He would shed His blood on Calvary, give Himself to God. Now listen, the finished work of Christ was that He would carry His own blood into the holy place in heaven. Amen. And put it on the mercy seat where it would satisfy the demand of God for man's sin. Your sin, my sin. Amen. Amen. Everything had to be done just right. Not one thing could have been neglected. Everything Christ did on the cross was under the obedience of the Heavenly Father, even unto death. Everything that He did at Calvary when He laid there. And the Bible said, as a lamb led to the slaughter, openeth He not His mouth. Amen. He never said a word. They nailed his hands to the cross, his feet to the cross. Amen. No less than seven times, blood rolling off of him, Amen. Dripping off of him. Amen. A beat with a cat of nine tails. Amen. Just beat with inches of his life prophesied. By his stripes we are healed. Amen. He went through it all. Every bit in the Old Testament that pointed them to Christ, he fulfilled it all. From the law all the way to grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Finished it up. And when they pierced his side of the cross of Calvary, that blood that was shed was reserved in heaven. When he was resurrected, he said, Mary, don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. He had carried that blood to them. He said, I'll be back. I'll be back. Amen. And he carried his blown blood to the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. And put it on that mercy seat. And he came back down and presented himself to his disciples five different times. Spoke to them. Amen. And showed them his nail-scarred hands, his pierced side. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. I tell you tonight, it's a finished work. There'll never be another sacrifice. Amen. There'll never need to be another bloodshed of a bull or a goat or a ram, turtle dove for the poor. It's sufficient for all man's sin, and it's finished. And for us to be saved, we've got to believe it tonight. The Bible said he had no wedding garment on. There's people going to try to slip in, but you can't slip in. They've been people try to sneak in through the water. Yeah, that's right. Try to sneak in through the water. That's kind of silly when you think about it, to believe that all that Christ did and you can come by water. No, you can't do that. There's many a folk trying to slip in by church membership. Just unite or join. Just join a church anywhere, and you'll feel good about yourself. But it ain't the denomination nor the religion that saves us. He said you must be born again if you're ever going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be born by the Spirit of God. This that's born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. But that that's born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a supernatural birth. Amen. I can't explain it, but I knew it when it happened to me. Hallelujah. Didn't have what it took. Didn't have what it took. Do you have what it'll take? The Bible said, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. There'll come a day where excuses will never work again. You've made all kinds of excuses to not be saved. Many people have talked you out of it. But I'd wait till I got old before I got saved. That's what a lot of them say. While you're young, just go ahead and do what it is you want to do. I can't find nowhere in the Bible where it says about going and sowing your wild oaks and get those things over with and then come to God. No, it's not biblical. Don't you believe that lie of the devil and the lie of the world? Amen. I'd get saved while I was young, where I could spend more time, amen, serving the Lord while I'm here on this earth. Best thing ever happened to you is when you get saved, and the next best thing happened to you is when you get baptized, amen, into the fellowship of the church of the living God. I'm telling you, when you come in the right order, amen. I was talking to somebody today, this is not about living right, it's about dying right. Somebody said, I'd get saved if I could live right. But it ain't about you living right. You're not going to heaven because you live right. Amen. I tell you, if we all are dependent on us living right to get to heaven, would everyone be in hell? But I'm glad it's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. He did all the living right. Woo! Hallelujah. He did the living right for me. And when God sees me, thank God he sees the blood. That just came on. Amen. I'm telling you. People say, I get saved when I live right, when I can live it. The Apostle Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that lives in me. He can get the job done. He said he was speechless. He had no excuse why he didn't have the wedding garment on. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're here tonight. The invitation has gone out. The Holy Ghost, convicting power through His Word, has gone out. The servant of the Holy Ghost has gone out. The pleading of the preacher in the Word of God has gone out. The gathering of the saints of God has gone out. They're right here. Amen. Everything is now ready for you to get what it takes to go to heaven. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to come? Will you come? I want you to be sensitive now to the Spirit of the Lord in your life. I didn't come this way to preach to you anything different. Same old, old story, but if you'll believe it, it'll be brand new to you. You can come to Jesus tonight and your life can be changed right now. Repentance is an unusual word. It means a turn away from a direction that you were headed in, and you're headed in the direction of sin. And when a man repents, he turns away from sin toward God. That's what it does. That's what repentance does. Somebody said it's a change of mind. And I guess you could say that because a man thinks himself of going one way, and then repentance turns him to another place. But it's much deeper than a change of mind. It don't get just in the mind. It gets in the heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's brand new. The word's creation. Amen. That's the word for creature. And it's the same word in the beginning when he started everything. He started everything with nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's what we are. Nothing. Amen. And when God saves us, we're a new creation. Brand new. Amen. You can come to Jesus tonight. I'd like for us to get a song, if you would. I want you to get serious with the Lord for just a minute now. I want you to look in your heart. Take away all the religion. Take away the denomination. Take away your feeling, yourself, and see if you have what it takes. Has there been a time and a place where God's Spirit has invited you to come? You say, well, I just came because they all was coming. No, no. God may not have been dealing with you when they all came. You say, well, I got an altar with them and I thought that was being saved. That's not. It's not. There has to be it's a God thing. It's not following the crowd. You say, well, I wondered, well, how come I'm having such a hard time? Could be because you really don't have what it takes. That what you got is superficial, not something that's supernatural, spiritual. Look in your heart and see if you've got what it takes, because it gets serious when God calls you home. It gets serious. I'd like for us to stand together. Preacher, if you'll come out here. Look.